All right, joined by the philosopher, that is Nick Hundley. Nick, first of all, how do you like the weather here? How do you get ready to play a game in cold weather?
Yeah, it's amazing because it never changes. You know, you expect as the season to go on to get warmer. You know, coming from, we just were in Seattle, and it was hot, unseasonably hot there in the 90s. You know, so then come back here, and it's in the 50s. But it prepares you for late season baseball, prepares you for October baseball. So that's what we want to be playing in.
Well, you're at the plate, you're looking out at the pitcher, and that fog is right behind him, and you can feel it. What goes through your mind at that point? Are you aware of the elements?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, you come to San Francisco, you know, it's kind of like Gotham City, you know? It's kind of like Batman. You expect Batman to float in right behind the fog and hang out. That's why I like when we wear our black jerseys so much, just because, you know, it's kind of dark here. It's an awesome environment to play in. I mean, it's one of a kind. You can't replicate this stadium, this environment, this energy here, the weather here. There's so many cool variables about it. It's the most unique venue in baseball, for my money. So I think, you know, obviously the fans come and want to enjoy and watch a winning product. And the Giants have provided that. But at the same time, man, you can't get a better environment to watch a game of baseball in.
Yeah, no, I agree. Nick Hundley with us, our philosopher. Well, the second half, so to speak, is starting. 104 games. I don't know how many halves you got. You'll be playing 300 at that rate. But you do have an all-star break, and there is that you and I talked about on the last show. You come out of the break. Mentally, what was it like for this team coming out of the break?
Oh, we're fired up to go. We know we have to push and go and make a run at this thing, and that's something that this team has done plenty of times in the past, and we're working to do that again.
All right, one of the games over in Oakland. First of all, what do you think of the games over in Oakland? Just the atmosphere and 48,000 people, 56,000 people in Mount Davis?
That was awesome. I mean, the Giants in Oakland and A's fans really, you know, packed the house. That was the most energy I've ever seen in that stadium. That I've played there, it was incredible. I think there was a good amount of fans from both sides. I love the PA announcer, too. The old, seems like high school football. You ready for him to say that somebody made a tackle, you know, stuff like that. So it's a cool environment with that many people there. And it was loud, too. I thought it was as loud as I've ever seen it over there.
Yeah. All right. DHing, what do you do to get ready to DH? Is it hard to do that?
You know what? As a catcher, when you're catching with so much on your plate, with terms of calling games, getting your pitchers ready, it's actually kind of a easier mental preparation. You know, it's harder physically just to stay locked in because you're used to being in the game all the time and catching between inning or on defense and all that stuff. In Oakland, there's no cage there. The cage is in center field, so it's tough to stay loose. It's probably the worst place to prepare to play of any stadium in the league. But at the same time, you know what you have to do. So you got to go out there and put quality at-bats together no matter what environment you're in. But it's a little bit less mentally exhausting for sure.
How did you like Chairgate? How did you like the Melanson thing with the chair?
That was awesome. I heard there was some good stuff. I don't have Twitter or any of that stuff or any social media, but I heard there was some good stuff on Twitter, some good comments. And, you know, obviously Mark not trying to hit anybody with a chair, but I think he can parlay that into a WWE match or something. Maybe him, Piscotty, in the offseason can get in the octagon and entertain some fans in the Bay Area. I'm going to talk to Mark and try to get a little charity event going where him and Piscotty can hammer each other some chairs and maybe some barbed wire and all that stuff, see how it goes.
I liked it. On the internet, they had wrestlers hitting each over the head with chairs. I mean, it was really funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was that's the cool part about social media on that end is people can express their creativity, you know, and have their voice heard a little bit. And obviously, I think it was a tying run or the winning run. Go ahead, run. And and a ball squirts down the line and then gets caught up in the bullpen. You never, that's the cool thing about baseball. You see stuff that you're never going to see again and you haven't seen. I mean, when's the last time you've seen somebody get hit with a chair in the bullpen trying to make a play? You know, it doesn't happen.
Very good. Very good. I like that. Very good. Nick Hundley with us. What about Hanson? Again, just an exciting player. And look, if you're the third base coach, you might as well just get out of the way.
Man, he is an exceptional athlete. He's like a Jose Reyes type, you know, can slash from both sides, really powerful, can run, has more power than you'd think. He can go deep. He's been a real shot in the arm for us in a team that we don't run a ton, but with Dougie and him and Kutch and those types of guys, we're running more and we're faster and we're more dangerous scoring from first on extra base hits and stuff like that. So he adds a great dynamic to our team. He play all over the infield. I bet if you ask him to play center field, he's athletic enough to do it. So he's been a real shot in the arm for us.
Yeah. You know, this is a team that doesn't hit many home runs. In July, I think almost last in the major leagues in home runs. So people say, well, try to get runs other ways. But can you just do that? Can you take people and just say, all right, we're going to now hit and run, or we're going to steal, we're going to do all those things? Can that just happen?
You know, we were driving the ball better early in the season, for sure. I mean, guys were hitting homers. Obviously, we haven't had as many this month, but that's one of those things where if guys get going and we get right, we can drive the ball and hit more homers. And I think in the first couple months of the year, we're hitting more homers at AT&T Park than we were on the road. So that's one of those things that I think it's cyclical, and we'll get back to driving the ball better. But trying to manufacture runs, yeah, we've been playing. I mean, it's hard to force the issue, you know. You want to let your guys play the game and not, you know, not push and try to do stuff you're not comfortable with doing. But at the same time, we are more athletic than we were last year. We are faster than we were last year. And we've been playing a lot of close games. So those little things, those extra 90 feet, the hit and runs, stuff like that, those will be really important for sure. Yeah.
No, I think when you're not hitting home runs, you got to do it to get the other team defensively moving around so the ball will find a hole. That's what I like. All right, you went up to Seattle. The weather was beautiful up in Seattle. You like that city?
I love it. I went to high school for 3 years in Seattle.
I forgot.
It was our wife's trip. We had an off day.
Yeah.
Me and my wife got to get out, rented a boat, and just kind of cruised around Lake Washington where I was from and had made a day out of it. It was awesome. Seattle is one of the most beautiful places in the world on a nice day with Mount Rainier in the background, mountains, lakes, beautiful evergreen trees all over the place. It doesn't get much nicer. And when it's nice, obviously in the winter it rains all the time, but when it's nice, it's my favorite city in the world.
Oh, very good. I forgot that's where you're from. Your dad was the defensive coordinator at UW, right?
Yep. Yeah, he was. And that stadium right on the lake,
yeah.
They packed the house over there. They won the Rose Bowl, and I think it was 2001 when my dad was the D coordinator there. It was some of the most special times I had as a kid,
yeah,
watching football games there. And they got it rolling now with Chris Peterson over there. They're doing a great job again. So I'll always root for the Huskies.
I was going to say, so you're a Husky fan, I guess.
Yeah, I'm a Husky football fan.
Okay.
Yeah, I like. Right. I appreciate the time that my dad was up there. I mean, they won a lot of games. That environment there is really special, and it gets loud. Yeah, I'll definitely like the Huskies.
Now, someone asked a question this week about fans. Let's say I'm a Giant fan. Can I have a team in the American League that I root for? Now, you've played, I think, your whole career pretty much in the National League, haven't you?
Yeah, one year in Baltimore, I got traded from San Diego.
All right.
Yeah.
So let me ask a question. So, all right, you're with the Giants. Do you have an American League team you kind of follow?
Well, just playing with the Orioles. In 14, won the division that year over there with them. So I follow the Orioles more than any American League team because Buck Showalter and the staff is still over there, and some guys that I played with are still over there. But, you know, I think you follow players as a player more than you do teams. You know, guys you played with, friends in the game, people that play your same position, stuff like that.
All right. I forgot that you were in Baltimore. I forget a lot of things. I'm glad you're here to remind me, Nick. Nick helps me out. I love the stadium. I love Camden Yards.
It's awesome. Another iconic ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, all the Cal Ripkins, the Eddie Murrays, those types of players. You know, I still remember as a kid watching Cal Ripken run around the whole stadium after he broke the consecutive games played record. Those are special moments.
Did you go to Boog's Barbecue?
I had Boog's Barbecue a bunch in the clubhouse, and it's iconic there too.
Did you meet him?
I did. Yep, he was around. Yeah, I think that they do a really good job, kind of like here, of honoring their past.
Yeah.
They do a really good job of former players coming around, and there's a lot of pride in that organization, too.
All right, very good. I'm glad we touched on the Orioles. All right, let's talk Hall of Fame. It's Hall of Fame weekend. I'll give you a name, and you tell me what you think. Trevor Hoffman.
Man, I was really fortunate to play with Trevor my first year and a half. Before he got traded from, or before he left San Diego to come out to Milwaukee. He was still to this day one of the best teammates I've ever had in my life. I mean, how hard he worked was really special, but man, he cared about everybody, and he was more of a servant than any other star that I've ever been around, man. He would take people under their wing. I remember I'd sit in the cold tub and hot tub with him after games, talk about baseball, talk about life. I remember we played an exhibition series in China, and we were sitting on the bus after the China series against the Dodgers in spring training. We played two games, and guys were handing balls back and forth to sign, and he went up to every single guy, and this was with a lot. There were only a couple big leaguers on the trip, him and Adrian Gonzalez, a couple other guys, and the rest of us were minor league guys, and he went up to every single guy and asked for their autograph on a ball and shook their hand and thanked them. And then my first spring training, I was working out in the weight room, and he went to Arizona like I went to Arizona as well, and he came up to me. I know, hey, I hear here you signed from Arizona, man. Good to have another Wildcat here. And introduced himself. And it was really surreal that Trevor Hoffman's coming up to me at number 71, you know, who is his first spring training and just signed a pro contract. And this guy's a Hall of Famer. It doesn't get much better than him. So I'm really excited for him. It'd be really cool. I was able to be at his jersey retirement ceremony at Petco Park. When we were there, that was a really special time. So I know if anybody's deserving of being a Hall of Famer, it's Trevor Hoffman.
Very nice, Nick. Very good. Glad to get that insight from you. Vladimir Guerrero.
Oh, man. He was awesome to watch. I loved watching him play because he could do stuff on the field that most people couldn't. You know, the balls that he swung at, the unbelievable hand-eye coordination he had, the tools, the way he ran and threw. There wasn't anything on the baseball field that he couldn't do. So when I was growing up, I liked Larry Walker and Vlad Guerrero were my two favorite players just because of how talented they were. So it'll be really cool to see him in there too.
Well, one that probably people love is Chipper Jones.
Yeah. Oh, man.
You know him?
I played against him some. When I came up, a couple guys when I was catching that stood in the box, they're like, wow, this is really cool. One year of my rookie year, Ken Griffey Jr. hit a home run in Cincinnati against us. And I was like, wow, that was a homer. I'm on the other team, but Ken Griffey Jr. just hit a home run right next to me. That was pretty cool. And then when Chipper Jones stepped in the box, like, wow. Because seeing all the Braves games on TV when you're growing up, they were pretty much the only team that was always on. So you got to know the Braves more than any team, no matter where you were. So to see Chipper Jones was really cool, too.
All right, one more. Tomey.
Oh, man, I've heard nothing but good things about Jim Tomey in terms of being an unbelievable teammate. I can't remember who told me this, but they said Jim Tomey would always say that sometimes you're the bug and sometimes you're the windshield. And that's a cool little mantra to say. You know, sometimes you get it done, sometimes you get beat, but always coming back. And I've heard nothing but good things about Jim Tomey.
Boy, very good. This is one of our best. And why I love doing this with you, people get to know you and get to know about your back. I didn't know you went to China. We got to do a show on that next time. This is good. But you've been a great philosopher. Very good. We got more baseball coming up. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Marty. Anytime, buddy.
More coming up, KNBR 680, the sports leader.